Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for our podcast. It has been an interesting week. Challenging, interesting. I've been in the public eye a little bit. For those of you who don't know, I don't know, the whole world I thought knew that I got into a little bit of a social media storm. I had posted an image of a celebrity, and I got critiqued from left and right by all her amazing fan followers. And I was talking, I think, primarily to injectors around the world, talking about the phenomenon of an overfilled face and why injectors need to do better, how we need to stop relying on hyaluronic gel fillers because it can create a puffy, doughy, swelly look to the face. The gel fillers draw so much water into the tissues. Really, 1,000 times their water weight can come into the tissues. And really, the science is not even fully established on how much puffiness and swell comes into the skin when we use the gel fillers. I'm a huge fan of fillers. Fillers are one of our best technologies for rebuilding facial fat loss that happens with natural aging process. Fillers are one of the only non-surgical things we can do to help stave off a facelift and surgical treatments for aging faces. And so I love and use fillers all the time, but I'm seeing such a widespread phenomenon of overfilling faces that I just felt it was necessary to mention it. Now, I got widely critiqued for looking at this lovely lady's face and putting her in the background of my video and commenting on overfilling of her features. And I just want to say, I never intend, of course, to critique and break down a woman. That was not my goal. In fact, I probably should not have posted an image of someone recognizable or individually point out their facial features. I have learned from this episode. I definitely learn from every time I put myself out there. But that's one of the joys of putting yourself on a platform. You got to put yourself out there. You got to have an opinion. You have to create some content. I feel a responsibility to my viewers and listeners all around the world to help educate patients out there, because patients truly believe what celebrities say sometimes, that they say they haven't had any work done, that they say, like J-Lo, they live on olive oil, like they're beautiful because of olive oil. And I feel it's my responsibility to write those incorrect perceptions. And people out there, the general public, they're entitled to the truth. If you're in a platform and you're telling people things that are not 100% the truth, like, those things will come back and haunt you, whether it's your appearance of your face that has an obvious altered characteristic, or whether it is just facts that will surface later, or whether it is just illogical that some people say they've never tried Botox, it's just olive oil. So I think I have a responsibility to my fans to tell them what I do to my face. And unfortunately, I should not have posted an image of a woman who is 6 months from her pregnancy due date and delivery, because that was claimed to be weight gain and pregnancy-related changes of the skin. But let me tell you, from a woman who's 5'4", who gained 80 pounds with her twin pregnancy, that I know what pregnancy weight gain is, and I know the facial characteristics of facial fat and overall puffiness that can happen from weight gain versus the water-filled turgor pressure of hyaluronic gel filler. It is very clear from the injector standpoint that if you're an experienced injector, you can literally look at skin, look at facial tissues, look at lips, and be able to detect that the amount of swelling is unnatural, or that the amount of swelling is related to excess water drawn into the extracellular tissues and is soft tissue swelling from filler. So I know what 80 pounds of twin pregnancy weight gain is and what it does to a face, what it did to my own face. And I know even what gradual weight loss has done for me. When I took Wegovy, one of the weight loss shots, it really thinned my face a lot, but it didn't change my intrinsic features of my facial fat. And I'm really wanting to do more research into this issue of hyaluronic gel fillers and how long do they last, how do they break down, how do they draw water into the tissues. These are all issues that are so important to research more. So my intentions in doing this social media post were pure. I did certainly not want to criticize a woman who'd had a pregnancy and a weight gain, but I did want to point out facial features that looked irregular, that struck the naked eye and made you stop and pause and say, wow, what happened there? All of us have the ability. The brain is like a computer. There is artificial intelligence, which can scan faces and detect repetitive patterns and normalcy. And then there is human intelligence, which is even better at that. The human eye can detect when there's too much water pressure in the face, too much puffiness, doughiness, swellingness, and abnormality. And that is what we need to work on as injectors. I really don't care that some celebrities want an overfilled look, or some people, like the infamous Madonna picture that circulated the internet, has, you know, really made us think about how much gel filler we're putting in our faces. And Madonna, too, has denied doing any procedures. And I'm certainly not about to attack Madonna. However, I just want celebrities out there to know that the human brain is so good at scanning faces and so good at facial recognition, so good at understanding when gel filler causes puffiness, bloating, and swelling that's a bit unnatural. And that is what we need to work on. I want injectors out there to build facial foundation, to use vectoring techniques to pull and lift the face up, lateral, backwards. So when the facial ligaments start to lose their elasticity, just like a rubber band does, facial tissues will fall forward and begin the process of gravitational drooping and jowling and heaviness where we don't want it. So the things we can do to improve that would be using gel fillers to myomodulate in spot areas where there is fat loss, using facial filler as a fat substitute, placing biostimulatory fillers like PLLA or Sculptra, like Radiesse, calcium hydroxyapatite. These products have the ability to turn on collagen production, which is what we need to do. Up, back, and lateral, pulling the face in a vertically vectored manner to lift heaviness so that swelling doesn't occur in the front of the chipmunk cheeks. It doesn't need to occur at all because the biostimulators turn on your own collagen production. I am a huge fan of collagen production, and many of the biostimulators, including calcium hydroxyapatite or Radiesse, also stimulate elastin production, elasticity of the skin. And I think this is the next frontier of what we really need to focus on: bioregenerative therapies, platelet-rich plasma, stem cell infusions, exosomes. These are all products that can improve the appearance of the aging face without over-reliance on gel fillers. I love a good gel filler. I will never stop using them in the right place for mid-face fat loss, for lip filler, for under-eye filler, for augmentation of a thin aging face. These are beautiful products, even for chin filler, even for temple filler. But they have to be placed in a manner that builds volume where you need it and allows for a natural amount of swell. I think we're going to need to switch to kind of a micro droplet technique where we're using small amounts of filler, multiple locations, and then just settling for good improvement. Maybe not surgical quality improvements, because first of all, filler can't deliver surgical success. And second of all, if we use so much filler that we're lifting, pulling, and moving tissues around, we really are not. It looks good immediately. Gels settle. They definitely swell. They definitely draw water in, and they don't really lift. They just bloat. So the over-reliance on facial filler, it's one of the big lessons I learned. What other lessons did I learn? Well, any publicity is good publicity, even bad publicity. Even a celebrity calling me out and saying that I was mean as F, or that I was a piece of S. And that got picked up by every media outlet, from People Magazine to Cosmo to Us Weekly to God knows where. But it was over in a flash. And I maintained calmness, dignity, kind of just stayed professional about it. I really would have loved to put out a public apology, because I never want a woman to feel bad about herself or her own facial identity. I just kind of wanted to, you know, put an SOS help signal out there, like to women in society in general, like don't let people overfill your face. It doesn't matter if you're a celebrity or a regular woman. Trust an injector who's going to tell you when you look overfilled, who's going to adjust, dissolve, or manipulate your fillers to get them to sit just right, who's going to start using biostimulatory products to improve your overall outlook and your skin quality and your skin tone and texture. These are the things that we need to do as an industry. Also, lessons learned. Always life teaches me to be humble, to put my nose to the grindstone, to work hard, and just keep doing what I believe in. So it made me really realize that I believe in what I said. I stand true on my platform that I'm here to educate patients and people who don't want to hear that a particular person has an overfilled look. I'm sorry, but I have to speak the truth. And probably I'll never again call out an individual person who I actually think is very lovely and beautiful. How I do want to make it clear that this is about the science, the education of patients, and kind of drawing attention to an industry-wide issue that I want us all to focus on being more artistic and doing small incremental change in crafting a beauty plan for a patient that's not just one visit. It's never one and done. It's never put as much filler as you can in there and get your result and go have a fun summer. It's do small baby steps. It's knowing when to say no to a patient and how to say no. And it's also taking someone who now has an overfilled face, because this is epidemic, and I see it 5 times a day in my office coming in from 10 years of product placed in 5 different salons by 10 different injectors. So we're seeing women who have really faces that are a conglomeration of multiple products. They have no idea what they've placed over time. We have no idea how long it lasts. We really only have ultrasound, visual cues, and digital manipulation to understand what is going on in their faces. And you have to now, as an injector, learn how to adjust, build volume in a heart-shaped configuration with more upper face, temple, posterior lateral, temporal parietal volume, and then reduce the lower face fullness to create a more feminine appearance. What we do is so difficult crafting beauty. First, you have to identify beauty in an individual face. You have to look at this person's discrete facial features and decide what is so beautiful and attractive about this individual, because each person has that in them. They have some gorgeous, amazing features, and you have to draw those to the forefront, minimize things that are not congruent or harmonious, and give the person confidence. And so that is coming now with a new generation of injectors who needs to learn how to adjust many years of work, how to dissolve, how to replace volume, and how to grow collagen. So that's a big lesson learned that we have to do better as an industry, and I have to do better myself to teach patients. I want to do better when I see a patient and be able to give them a facial evaluation and a facial critique without them feeling attacked. That's so important. When you sit in someone's chair, you don't want to have your entire ego and face broken down and be told all the things that are wrong with you. So you have to be able to say this very tactfully, gracefully, and yet scientifically, so that people understand that the aging process is universal and these things will happen to all of us, like it or not. Facial change, temporal weight loss, drooping, gravitational droop, skin elasticity changes, it's all coming for you. We got to teach the patient that this is not a teardown or a breakdown of their individual beauty. This is a way of analyzing which factors of aging are starting to show, predicting which things will be best to work on for prevention, and then just educating. We can educate and hopefully not sensitize people. I always want to build people's confidence. I never want someone to feel bad about their facial assessment. And yet, you have to point out factually the things that are going off track, that may not be harmonious, and that need adjusting. And so that is my intention. So this whole episode has taught me to be much more aware of the feelings of the person who's being critiqued, because I'm sure that's true for every person. When they sit in the chair, they feel vulnerable. I'm much more aware of people who put themselves on a platform, understanding that, yeah, they will feel vulnerable if they are critiqued. And being supportive of women is my mission. So I will try to make things more scientific without pointing out individual examples. However, I stand by what I said. I will continue to call attention to things that I see in our industry that we need to work on to do better. And also to educate patients about what celebrities are doing, because there's too much secrecy. And when people say they haven't had anything done, it's just not the case. And I want to make sure that the consumer out there, my patient, is educated. I want to empower the patient. power to the patient, because that's why I do what I do, to give women and men confidence and the ability to trust their injector, to understand what they see, whether it's true or not true in the press, to be told from an expert point of view what's really going on. It has value. With all of that said, it was a very educational week for me. A little rough at times, but you know, I try to weather the storm. I saw all the good in it, got lots of great comments that were supportive, got lots of comments that were not supportive, and it was definitely a learning experience. So that was it for my 5 minutes of fame, and I just want to make sure that all of us do better as injectors, and all of us do better as patients. When you're sitting in the chair, ask a lot of questions, and look at your face, and appreciate your facial features, and stop trying to be perfect, please. You have to allow for aging. It's coming, and we have to allow everyone the ability to age with grace and dignity and character. I think that we don't teach that to women enough. There is something beautiful about our grandmothers' faces, and we wouldn't want to change them for $1 million. So I wouldn't want to change grandma's face. I want to appreciate the warmth, the humor, the life that is in those faces. All right, guys, that's it for now. I've archived that post, but happy to continue this conversation. If you haven't heard our podcast before, make sure you like and subscribe. We do a podcast every Tuesday and a 5-minute Friday. I'm trying to teach more about maintenance of beauty, biohacking, longevity, the things that you should do to improve your skin, your face, your quality, your brain. Most important, your brain. Beauty is transitory. The brain lasts forever. Got to keep our intelligence and our character and build women and men of strength. That's my passion project. If you haven't already found us on the gram, it's Beauty by Dr. K, doing amazing things with people's faces. I teach an injector course online. It's called Modern Aesthetic Theory and Artistry. And that is definitely one of my passion projects, to teach injectors all around the world all of my tips. Good many of them are free. And there's an online course where you can learn 25 different modules, on-label and off-label techniques. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.